Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Fan Run Radio.
Rick Barnes and the Tennessee Volunteers all raise their shirts. They are the SEC Tournament Champions. Mark will hold it, and so he and the Volunteers will hold the trophy. SEC Tournament Champions to match their regular season title.
You know who Hendon Hooker is, returning quarterback for Tennessee, a dark horse Heisman candidate.
I haven't even said it on my own airwaves yet. I think Tennessee's going to beat Georgia this year.
Assuming it's not Alabama, it's not Georgia who wins the SEC, what other team is there that could challenge for the SEC title?
Well, I'm a little curious about Tennessee. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see if they can make that step and be a division contender.
Well, then I guess there's only one thing left to do.
What's that?
Win the whole thing.
Yes!
Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Haven't even kicked off the show. Hickman's trying to steal my notes. I slaved over these notes. Got in at 6. Riding away. Reading away.
That's the most prep I've ever seen you do.
Oh, I've done way more. I haven't done this much in an hour, though. This is top shelf notes. It's BYO notes.
Sorry, I won't look.
Can you read upside down?
Yeah, I can.
I doubt it. I'll just cover them. I feel like I'm in high school again, trying to cheat off my paper. Welcome in to the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. This is 3 and Out. It is our favorite day of the week.
No,
guys,
it's not.
Yes, it is. It's Optimism Tuesday. That's our favorite day of the week. You disagree? You big Friday guy? You love Friday so much you're skipping this week? That's Adam Hickman, intern Brett on the ones and twos.
I'm actually a Thursday guy, if I'm being honest, but.
Thursday?
Yeah, probably my favorite day of the week.
How is Thursday your favorite day of the week?
I don't know, because once you get off work, you know, it's like, oh, tomorrow's Friday. All's about to be good in the world.
So Thursday's good because it's before Friday? Wouldn't that make Friday the day?
No. I like the anticipation of Friday more than I actually like Friday. Mm. So that's why I always have been a fan of Thursday.
That's sound logic.
Yeah.
I mean, iron tight. Can't argue with that.
And we play football on a Thursday this year, so.
Speaking of, we are 18 days away from the start of the college football season. A little longer than that, of course, to get to Tennessee's opener Thursday night, Ball State. But we are in the teens for college football. Also, I believe we have a handful of NFL preseason games this Thursday, do we not?
Yeah, those are firing up.
Firing up. This is the official first Thursday once you get past the Hall of Fame game, correct? I have no idea what that slate is. I do know the Titans play. I do not know who they play. I know they've cut the preseason from 4 to 3. Would anyone really care if it went to, oh, I don't know, 2 or perhaps 0?
Nope.
I realize they want to have those to cut guys and trim the rosters and give guys a shot. But would extra practices and scrimmages in a closed setting not be a little more beneficial for teams?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they do sell some tickets to these things. They do make a little bit of money. But yeah. It seems like if I'm a coach, these things are pretty pointless.
So Thursday, the Giants will take on the Patriots, and the Titans will take on the Ravens.
Oh, the Ravens. Ooh.
And then you got 5 games on Friday.
5 games on Friday? Wow.
And then you got Some games on Saturday. A big slate on Saturday. Looks like we got about seven games.
It's preseason football. There's no such thing as a big slate.
But.
You mean a lot of games?
The Buccaneers will be playing the Dolphins Saturday, August 13th.
What do you care? Tom Brady's not even going to dress. What do you care?
Nah, he's not playing. The Dolphins are a one-point favorite.
How many days has he practiced of the practice days for the Bucs? I feel like he's a guy who needs a maintenance day every other day at this point.
You think you get to be the best at football by taking maintenance days?
Are you suggesting that he does not get maintenance days?
I mean, I'm not
regularly.
I'm not saying he doesn't, but
I'm gonna guess he may lead the league in maintenance days. I don't know if that's an official stat. I'd have to check with my NFL experts, but I believe Tom Brady, and rightfully so. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve him.
He is
but
old.
You just said, oh, you don't get to be the best with maintenance days. Maybe that's why he is the best. Maybe him getting all these maintenance days has prolonged the clock. Kind of like, you know, LeBron sitting out in the regular season. Yes, if you're going to that game, you're disappointed, but the reality is it probably does lengthen his career.
That's significantly. Why I'm missing Friday of the show this week, you know, maintenance day. I want to prolong my career.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah. We'll see if it pays off. I should be back Monday, refreshed and ready to go. So
are you just like you're not talking Friday? You got to save the cords. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I probably won't talk much Friday. Probably sleep.
But you're missing the show to sleep?
No, I mean I got to do some stuff. But
Like at least Nate's out of town. Like that's a pretty good excuse. You're just sleeping?
No, I'm not sleeping. I got to take care of some business before I. Head down to the mid-state. Head over to the
mid-state.
There you
go. Oh, yeah. Damn. Yeah. I mean, it's all relative, really. We're on a planet with central gravity, but typically when you look at a map, it would be over, not down. It's okay. I don't know the exact latitude and longitude as far as Nashville to Knoxville, but safe travels. Enjoy your concert.
Thank you.
And your maintenance day. Biggest news yesterday. I don't know if it's really news. I hate these things, but it is kind of interesting to look at. The AP preseason top 25 poll was released. Some good, some bad. Some good, some bad. I don't think there were any real surprises, maybe other than Texas getting one first place vote.
Yeah, who was that? I'd love to know.
That's a good question. First of all, I need to know who is allowed to vote. I know it's... This was the coaches poll, the AP coaches poll. So is this every head coach? Is this a selected group of head coaches? And who on God's green earth would vote Texas number one when last year they ended their season on a 7-game losing streak? Is that correct? A 7-game losing streak?
Well, they lost to Kansas.
At home, right?
Yeah,
first time in, I don't remember what it was, like 100 years. But yes, they got a first place vote. One of, I think, four teams to receive a first place vote, along with Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia. That is your top three. You can't vote for yourself. So we know it wasn't Sarkisian. A lot of people said maybe it was Lane Kiffin throwing his old buddy a bone. If Lane Kiffin gets a vote, he didn't want to vote Bama, probably didn't want to vote Georgia, so he just throws it out there to his buddy Steve Sarkisian at Texas. Is this the most worthless of the polls? I think in our minds we say, oh, the coaches, they watch all the film, they break it. This is a preseason poll.
These guys, while they are the best football minds out of any poll that is out there, like, I don't take much credit into the AP Top 25. I'm never a big fan of putting a lot of stock in just nerdy journalists voting on who they think the best football teams are.
But don't we think the journalists watch and read more about other teams than these coaches? I mean, the coaches are probably going to look at their schedule. They're going to break down the teams on their schedule. And then maybe in their conference look at the other division or a team they might see in a championship game and probably watch a little bit unless they – I mean, obviously for Tennessee, like Bama's on your schedule. That's who you're most likely to meet should you make it to Atlanta. you're going to break down Bama anyway, so I don't think there's any extra. You've got LSU this year. I don't know if Heupel's breaking down Texas A&M in the offseason.
Yeah, they might know who the quarterbacks are.
Those schools don't even know who the quarterbacks
are. I agree with the journalists. They probably know the 50.
They probably know the personnel. Coaches are like, oh, yeah, that number four over there, he's a great player. Why should they? But if they don't give a damn, and I'm not saying they should. They got plenty of stuff to worry about. They're making millions of dollars to make sure their team is in order and their schedule is scouted and all that.
So they use 65 head coaches.
The Power Five coaches.
And it's chosen by a random draw from conference schools and independents from a group of coaches who indicated a willingness to participate in the poll.
So these coaches have said, I'll vote.
Well, it sounds like it's a random draw, and they come to you, hey, do you want
to
vote?
But you said they've indicated a willingness. So they said, yeah, I'll do it. Sign me up.
And people are thrown in the mix, and all right, you get a vote.
I'm with you, Hickman. Like, I'm not big on the journalists having, like, say-so and who makes what bowl game or goes to the playoff. That's why we obviously adopted the playoff committee after week 8, because those guys, that's their job. I don't know if they do it, but that's their job, is to sit around, actually watch football, talk to coaches. But I feel like the journalists would probably watch a little more football than – so I don't know.
I think it's weird that Iowa and Penn State were not ranked. They come in at 26 and 27 ahead of Tennessee.
Don't they play in week 1?
I don't know if it's week 1.
It's early, right?
I think they played last year in week 2 or 3.
I feel like those two teams play pretty early.
Is Texas even ranked in that?
Yes, they are.
You said they got a first place.
They got a first place. They're 18th.
Oh, gosh.
I would love to know how much weight that first place vote carried. Would they even be a top 25 team if not for that lone first place vote? I have no idea. it might be close. They might be 25 if not for this first place vote. And again, you can't vote for yourself, so you can't blame Sarkisian for this.
Pittsburgh at number 16 was kind of a shock to me.
I think I know who it was. I think it was Jimbo. He hates Alabama, hates Georgia. He's going to vote for that's just like the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Who? Texas Bama?
Yeah.
Yeah. At Texas, I believe, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
so,
pretty interesting.
Utah State, that's who Alabama opens with. They actually got 12 votes to be ranked.
Are you suggesting that one might be close?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm just saying.
I'm just making sure.
News and notes, man.
Just making sure.
Kentucky, 20. Total crap.
Well, yeah, I got it right here. So Tennessee's opponents that are currently ranked, Bama 1, Georgia 3rd. No surprise there. Pitt comes in at 16th, which you mentioned. Kentucky at 21. Those are the only ranked opponents currently on Tennessee's schedule. That's 4. The rest of the opponents, Tennessee is technically ranked above. Vols came in at 28th, not officially ranked, but in the receiving votes, and you kind of count backwards, they're 28th. They had 163 points. LSU came in at 30th. 143 points. Florida 37th with 17 points. South Carolina 44th. They had a whopping 5 points in order to be ranked. Unranked and did not receive any votes. Vandy, Ball State, Akron, Missouri, and UT Martin. I mean, Pitt and Kentucky, outside of the two that no one expects to beat, those are your two quote-unquote best teams on the schedule, Pitt and Kentucky. Two games that right now I would say the majority of Tennessee fans feel like games you should probably win.
I mean, I think if you look at our schedule, I think the rankings are pretty accurate, right? I mean, maybe Pitt's a little too high after what they lost.
Yeah, I don't want to be the guy who says anyone above us is overrated and we're underrated and then everyone behind us is right, but
I don't know if you had to guess
a lot of question marks for Pitt.
Yeah, if you could have guessed possibly some teams that have been ranked. Obviously, you had the big two, but after that, wouldn't you have thought?
Those would be the two.
Yeah.
Those would be the
two. Just based coming off.
Because this is a lot of what you did last year, right? Pitt is the reigning ACC champ.
That's all they can go off of
right now. And what you return. And yes. Pitt obviously returns a good defense, and Kentucky returns
Will Levis. Kentucky shouldn't be ranked.
They won 10 games.
They won 10. Dude, that schedule is a joke.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, I don't know what the criteria. Do they really think that Kentucky is the 21st best team in the country, or do they think by the end of the year they're going to have more wins than teams that are better, so they get rated higher?
I mean, Northwestern would have a good shot at winning 9 games on Kentucky's schedule.
I don't disagree with that.
Like, it's pathetic. And they lost their best playmaker. They lost their OC. Will Levis is overrated.
But I don't know what their criteria is.
I hope Florida drops them in week 2.
Ooh, I can't go that far.
No, I'm going that far.
If Florida were to lose, because Utah came in, Utah's 8th.
Yeah, Utah is going to wax the floor with Florida. But for our sake, I don't want like a pissed off.
If they've lost 2 games at that point, in their mind, their season's over. And Billy Napier's an epic failure. Give me that. If they lose 2 of their first 3 and then they have a road trip to Neyland, like that's this guy stinks, their fans don't travel. I think
especially
that's the best case scenario.
Like offensively,
they beat us and that kicks off an 8-4 season.
Well, then that's our fault. That's our fault.
Yeah.
I mean, do you want them coming in undefeated and super confident,
I don't
playing
want them
loose?
Coming in super confident and undefeated, maybe with 1 loss to Utah. They're going to beat South Florida. Who else do they have?
Is South Florida any good? Did they receive any votes?
No. South Florida's dog crap.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, that is 100%. They've not been good since 2007.
I was going to say, it wasn't that long ago that they were halfway decent. But if you say so, I'll trust you.
I mean,
I think a 1-2 Florida team's probably your best shot. Now, it's going to make the win feel a little bit meh. It's not going to be as exciting as, say, beating an undefeated top 10 Florida team, but do we really care what the number beside Florida's name is at this point? Like, I don't care if they're 0-3. I just want to win the game. I just want to win the game, get it over with, move on to the bye week, and get the hell out of there.
So South Florida went 2-10 last year.
Now, keep in mind, this is the same Florida team that lost to, was it Georgia Southern, who did not complete a pass the entire game? And this Florida roster is allegedly on paper worse than that one. One of the worst rosters that anyone can remember in the history of, except the quarterback, who everybody's excited about, optimistic about. I don't know exactly. I mean, I think he has a high ceiling, but I also think he could be an interception machine.
Absolutely.
And he pulled his hamstring on a run where he wasn't touched last year. So I'm not saying he's injury prone, but if you're going to run the quarterback that much, he's going to get hit. There's a chance that he's banged up.
Yeah, absolutely.
South Florida's only had football since 2000.
They kind of came busting out of the gate then, didn't they?
Is the Florida-Utah, is that neutral or is that?
Gainesville.
Gainesville. I don't know what
the line is
on
that one.
That's
the opener. I mean, that's welcome to big-time college football, Billy Napier. Here's the 8th best team. I knew Utah would be pretty good. They've been pretty consistent over the last 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I did not think they would come in 8th. According to the coaches poll. I figured they'd be top 25 team. I didn't think they'd be top 10.
No, they're legit.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
You've been doing the breakdown on Utah?
I don't think I watched them much.
That Rose Bowl last year was absolutely phenomenal football. That was football at its peak.
There were a lot of guys sitting out, but it was a good game. That was Ohio State-Utah, right? That's the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was a good game.
I do think it's cool, though, that we're getting a game to, you know, shed light on Urban Meyer and just honor him.
They're calling it the Urban Bowl, right?
Yeah. I heard for halftime he's going to go out there and fake a heart attack at midfield.
Is he? He's not actually even going to be there, though, right?
Why wouldn't he?
I don't – isn't he on – Nate said he's on Big Noon Kickoff now. Would he just hop on a jet, go to Gainesville?
Hop on a jet, take
wave
a week
the,
off.
Wave the visor around to the crowd. Is he welcome back in Gainesville?
I mean, he did win them.
Well, I know, but do they celebrate Urban Meyer, or is that like taboo now?
You gotta celebrate the guy. Although,
do you?
We don't celebrate really one of our coaches who
he's kind of a scumbag.
Won us a natty.
We did for a while, but yeah, time will heal that wound, I think, Hickman. But surely to God, Urban Meyer doesn't take the field and wave the ball cap. That'd be something. I'd be anti that. Tennessee prepares for its first scrimmage of the preseason today. We've got some practice notes to get into. I still want to talk about this schedule. We've been talking about, what's the numbers? 7-5, 8-4. The fact that you only play four teams ranked ahead of you, two of them are Pitt and Kentucky. Again, at least you feel like you should at least split those games. Are we underselling this team? I don't know if you've made your official prediction. Nate is bouncing between 8-4 and 7-5.
So you asked yesterday if I feel better about the way things are now.
Does this make you feel better?
Like, here's my thing. Like, I've always said 8-4, 9-3. Like, that's what I said a month ago. That's what I'm saying now. That's probably what I'm going to say when I lock in my official prediction.
So how many points did you say, like, Pitt had? Like, the coaches received and all that? Like, what is the gap? Like, are they saying? Because rankings don't really mean a whole lot. I mean, you're still going to play them, and it's not played on paper.
It doesn't count. It just gives first place votes for teams in the top 25, and then
it doesn't give
total
them, like,
total points for those just outside the top 25.
I got you, but still, that's not a huge gap right there. I mean,
no, like Iowa is technically the 26th ranked team. They had 248 points. Tennessee 163, two spots behind them.
I was just thinking, like, the schedule. I feel like, I don't know, it's about what we thought it would be. You know, we're kind of grouped there with those teams we thought. You know. Kentucky's a little bit ahead of us. I mean, for whatever reason that is.
Well, again, it's just because they won 10 games. Yeah. I mean, we beat them head-to-head in their place, but for some reason they get all the credit and the hype for bringing back Will Levis and Hendon Hooker.
Had a much better season.
He's gotten some preseason hype, but I don't know. Like, reading some articles, it's like, oh, yeah, Hendon Hooker was pretty good.
Yeah, he's all over the map.
Let's see if he can do it again. It's like, have you seen this offense? Like, in year two, usually you take a big jump. So, I don't know.
Both of the Iowa schools are getting a little disrespect in the poll, if you ask me. But
what did Iowa State go last year? You do realize that they have less points to be in the top 25 than South Carolina.
They lost a lot. New quarterback.
Yeah,
they
lost a lot of games last year. Did they make a bowl?
They played Clemson.
Did they win?
No.
No. That's a shame. That's a shame. Continue this conversation on the other side. Get to the phone lines. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back to the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. 3 and Out rolls on. Houston Crest, Adam Hickman, intern Brett with you. 865-546-8200. If you want to join the program, we go now to the phone lines and get Matt.
What's up,
Matt?
What's up?
Oh, just going over these coaches and their voting strategy.
It might be Saban that threw that vote out there. Never know. I still think he's the biggest troll of them all.
Just so he can use that in the locker room.
They think Texas is better than you, all right?
Probably so. God, I hate Saban, man.
Well, you saw what he said about last year, right, Matt? That was a rebuilding year for Alabama.
Yes, I know. I'm glad to see Feinbaum, which is, you know, of course he's the biggest homer of all. But I read an article where he kind of lit him up a little bit, so that was nice to see.
I mean, how do you say that with a straight face?
Because he's a dumbass. I don't know how much more. I mean, he's such a tool, dude. I'm so saving doubt, man. Look, he's the greatest coach of all time. Blah 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 blah. Yeah. Let's just move on, man. I'm just so sick of hearing it, dude. I'm sick of seeing him, and just Alabama in general, man. It's been 15 years of just straight dominance.
Yeah.
Get some other teams in there, please.
I just want to know, like, what happens if they drop a game or two this year? Like, is this also a rebuilding year? I've never heard him make an excuse like that before.
Yeah, well, that's why I think he's making them, because I'm telling you, Alabama's going to lose two or three games this year. And one of those might be to Tennessee.
Whoa.
So put that in your
putting it on the hot take hot board.
It's not a hot take, son. That's going to be a fact. I'm telling you, you just said it a minute ago. People are underselling this Tennessee team, and I'm gonna smile real big when we win 9 or 10 games into this season.
It is strange the complete unknown for this team, which is weird because everyone thinks they've got Kentucky figured out. Oh yeah, Kentucky, that's a top 20 team for sure. They lost a lot of playmakers, and they have a weak schedule. And Tennessee beat them last year. Oh, Pitt, they're a top 16 team for sure. They bring back a lot on defense. We didn't really have a problem with that defense last year if we could, you know, throw accurate balls. We return our quarterback. We return most of our offensive line. We return one of the best wide receivers in the country. And you've got some people who see that and acknowledge it and say this offense is going to be great. Hendon Hooker, dark horse Heisman candidate. And then other people, it's almost like there was an article. What was that article I was reading? The guy completely forgot that we had Cedric. It was the anonymous SEC coach quote. They were like, oh, they just need a playmaker at receiver. What? We have a 1,000-yard receiver who caught double-digit touchdowns last year. And we've got other guys.
Let's hope we play that coach.
Seriously.
I hope we do.
It's weird. Like, I don't remember ever being to August with a team that had this much potential. Because usually Tennessee fans, they're the loudest and the first to just scream how great we are. This is like a quiet confidence this year. I don't know if that's battered Vol syndrome.
No,
like
I think that's good.
People don't want to talk too much. But I think there's a confidence in this team, but not as much chatter about it. I think that might be a good thing. But it is weird how some people in the national media, and a lot of them are guys who watch a lot of football, realize the potential of Tennessee, and others who maybe are just used to the last decade are just writing Tennessee off. It's fascinating.
If we go in and after week, what are we? We could be, 4-0. Florida's the game 4, right?
Yes.
So everybody starts talking. You know, the first week in football is kind of game and bad. But after week 2 and 3, there's always a few teams there's a top 10 team that's lost already that people just write off.
Yep.
And there's teams that jump into the top 25 that everybody's gushing over.
Right.
And I'm telling you, Tennessee is going to be that team this year. And those guys in the SEC Network and ESPN will be all over Tennessee after if we beat Pitt. And I just think that's a game. I'm telling you, I don't even think Florida, there's just no way you can lose that game. And I don't think they will. I just don't think Florida's that good this year. They're just not. And especially when they're coming up here. I mean, you know, so you're 4-0, which I think that's what Tennessee's going to start off. And then you've got everybody talking, which I don't technically like. I'd rather be where we're at now, where nobody's really talking about you that. But you got a few people here and there, and they're calling you. You know, I've heard a couple of people say 10 wins. I've heard on SEC Network call us to beat either Bama or Georgia, which I actually agree with that. I'm glad we're not in the top. We're not getting ranked to the top 25, and I like it better when you're kind of flying under the radar. I think that's where Tennessee needs to be.
Matt, let's say they do start 4-0, right? Because at that point, regardless, like let's say Pitt were to win or lose against West Virginia and Florida does whatever against Utah and Kentucky. If you start 4-0, people are going to be talking. Do you like the bye week coming up in week 5? Like as you kind of hit that hype train starting, you get the bye week?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, big time.
Kind of refocus everything, settle everybody down?
Yeah, because then you're going through your gauntlet. You got, well, I guess you got a couple of weeks before your gauntlet, right? But
you got a bye week, then you get LSU, Bama.
Yeah, that's true. At LSU is next. Yeah, I like the bye week before LSU 100%.
I do too.
And I don't know, but LSU is the only game this year that I just don't know. I just think that's something you're going down to play at LSU. Is that a night game?
It's not known yet.
Okay.
They haven't set the time.
Just hope it's, you want to hope it's not. Although last time, when was the last time we played a night game at LSU? Was that Clawson?
05, yeah. I was looking that up last night, but yeah, 05 is the last time we played there at night. Because I heard Westchester, he called overtime and said if we play them at night, there's no chance. But the last time we played them there at night, we won.
After a hurricane where everyone in the nation was pulling against you, nobody wanted Tennessee to win that game. That was LSU's you know what I mean? That was like, wasn't that the Katrina year?
Yes, and then Hurricane Rita came in like the week before. Tennessee got down early, lost their starting quarterback, and then, Rick Clawson came in and just nickel and dimed him to death.
Just, 28? We were down 28.
It was something. It was like 28-3 or 24-3, something like that.
You know what's funny with this coach is that I swear I feel like we could be down 21 points and I'm just not worried about it.
I wouldn't say I'm not worried about it, but I don't – yeah, like well, there well, does, nothing feels insurmountable.
Exactly. Yeah, not like Pruitt. You're down 10 points with Pruitt, and you're like, okay,
might as well be 50.
Let's go play some pool or something. Yeah, exactly.
right. You're not watching the game anymore after that. Like, you're just clicking it off, and you're going to go do something else. With this team, if there's enough time on the clock, you're thinking, well, let's wait and just see if we can get some magic here.
We'll probably be the afternoon game that week.
Like CBS or?
Yeah, because Alabama and A&M play that day. The same day we play LSU.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
Well, that'll be the 3:30 game. So we might
get you don't think they'll put that at night in Alabama?
Not unless that's a doubleheader. That'll be the CBS game of the week.
Didn't they have – that could be the doubleheader week, I'm thinking.
They do too, and I'm not sure if they've – they haven't decided that yet.
Yeah.
Hey, why is the 3:30 slot considered a better slot than the night game?
Yes. CBS.
Why is that? That's always baffled me.
CBS is broader coverage than ESPN because you have to pay for ESPN, but everybody gets CBS.
For the fans, they might like the night game.
Yeah, especially at LSU. Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate it.
I don't like the coverage of the CBS doubleheaders when you're the first game.
Why is that? Because you get the secondary crew?
Yeah, whoever the hell those guys are.
Yeah, they change. Some of them are pretty good, but it doesn't feel the same. You get the same music, but then you get different announcers. I don't know. I mean, I don't really care what time the game is. It really depends on how LSU starts the season. You know, what do they do against Florida State? What do they do against Mississippi State? And what do they do against Auburn? If they've lost two games,
They're 3-0.
Against those three?
Yeah.
You go ahead and predict it now?
Yeah.
So they're undefeated. They're 5-0.
I think the toughest game for them will be State.
I'd agree.
Mississippi State,
I mean, Florida State's going to have talent. But I don't know. Like, Brian Kelly did open against Florida State last year, so he's got all of his notes left over from last year's game. That'll probably help them in the scout. They got a bunch of talent. But
Norvell's done down there after this year.
Is that on the hot take hot board?
Yeah, it is.
You're calling it last year for Mike Norvell
at
Florida
terrible.
State?
What is this, year 4 or 5?
I think 4. It might only be 3.
So the first CBS doubleheader is Saturday, October 8th, with 3:30 and 8 o'clock games.
When we play LSU?
Yes.
Great.
And then the second one is the week after, which would be the 12th at noon and 3:30.
So it just depends on who they want to. It depends on what the teams have done up until that point. But hypothetically, if A&M, Bama, LSU, and Tennessee are all undefeated, they may want Bama hosting A&M at night. That may be a better draw. Now, LSU is going to say, we want the night game. We're LSU. Which is ridiculous that they get preferential treatment for night games.
Seems like Alabama was playing like LSU, and they would always be the night game back when LSU was rolling, top 10 team. It seemed like that
was
always –
well, that's usually a doubleheader day.
Yeah. I forgot who typically would be the
other it, one. It would depend. Yeah. It would just depend. I'm not scared of a night game. I mean, I would prefer it not be, just because that's like a holiday for LSU.
I mean, your best bet to win is you go in there at noon and lock the scoreboard up.
If the game's at noon, either we suck or they suck.
Uh-huh.
I mean, bad. Because I don't know what the schedule is for the rest of that day, but Tennessee at LSU, if both the teams are at least halfway decent, is a big game. But A&M Bama is going to be the biggest game, and typically on the doubleheader, the big game is the second game.
It's South Carolina at Kentucky.
No chance. No. Not when it's LSU, Tennessee, and Bama A&M.
Yeah,
I don't think. I'd be stunned.
Yeah,
I'd be floored. We or LSU would have to both just stink, and South Carolina and Kentucky would have to be basically undefeated.
Yes.
Which is possible for Kentucky because, as Hickman said, their schedule is garbage, as it is every year. But I really don't. Game time doesn't really matter to me.
I don't know.
A lot of people have that game as a don't really care game. Like, we have some longtime beef with LSU when Saban was there in 2001 and won the SEC championship, but I don't feel as if Tennessee fans view LSU as this arch nemesis, the same way you would, you know, a Bama, a Florida, a Georgia.
I kind of like their fans more than I like most. Now,
I've heard horrible things about going to games at Baton Rouge.
Playing LSU has this negative connotation in my brain, though, because one of my first Tennessee football memories, we lost to them in the championship game in 2007. Let's see. We got the Derek Dooley.
Well, win, then loss.
13 men on the field.
That was a noon game, I believe.
Are you sure it was on CBS?
I think it was a doubleheader. I think that was the noon game. I could be wrong.
Then the monsoon game.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I did force a penalty that game, though.
You yourself?
Yes, I did.
Against who?
LSU.
How'd you do that?
I got that. His name was Jackson. He had dreads. I think he was a cornerback or a safety. I got him to flip me double birds, and they threw a 15-yard penalty for unsportsmanlike conduct.
On the bench?
No, he was on. No, like, they ran. Tennessee ran a little fade to the corner of the end zone, and it was overthrown like JG always
does.
So
he's standing right in front of you?
And so, yeah, he just kind of like finishes his trot there, and I'm just yelling, bleep you, Jackson.
He went Rashawn Golden on you?
Yeah, he gave me double birds. And
the ref threw the flag?
15-yard penalty.
Who's this goofy
dude? Why didn't you save that for a close game? Or was it close at the time?
It wasn't close at the time. It was pretty fun, though. I affected the game.
I mean, kind of. Wait, was he was a receiver?
He was a cornerback for LSU.
Oh, we were throwing the fade.
Yeah, we were throwing the fade.
Did we score on that possession?
I do not think so.
But you affected the game.
Got us a penalty.
That penalty in the box score credited to Adam Hickman for eternity. You should call ESPN and have that that asterisk put in. Yeah, that'd be pretty good. You're a rowdy man, aren't you? Wow.
That game was awesome. I mean, you're soaking wet.
I don't know if I'd call it awesome.
Nothing matters because we suck. We're coachless at the time.
That's not true. We have Brady Hoke stalking the sidelines for the Big Orange. Was that the game? Was that right after he kicked Juwan Jennings off the team?
Yes.
Wasn't it that week? Because then he tried to come back for the Vanderbilt game and they wouldn't let him?
Yes.
This is Brady Hoke. I want to be your football coach. We'll take a break.
Got you feeling down? Well, I've got good news.
Let me know. Should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine.
Final segment, hour number one, Three and Out on Fan Run Radio. Houston Crest, Adam Hickman, intern Brett. TG tweets in, what chances do we give Florida to be a night game? The A&M at Arkansas game should get the 3:30 slot. It depends.
40%.
I'd go above 40, but if Florida loses to Utah and Kentucky and we were to lose to Pitt, there's no way that's not a noon game.
I mean, even if we're undefeated and Florida's got two losses, it'll probably be...
At that point, it still... It depends.
If it's a night game, it'll be SEC Network.
If total losses equal or greater than three, which would be a big problem... That means Florida's lost to South Florida, or we've lost to Ball State or Akron.
Or Pitt.
No, if we lose to Pitt. Well, if we lose to Pitt and they lose to Utah and Kentucky, I'd say there's a good chance that's a noon game. If Tennessee takes care of business, I think at that point you're probably looking at 60%. And if Florida only loses one and Tennessee beats Pitt, I think you're definitely getting a night game. How do we feel about that? We want that game at night if we can get it?
Yeah.
Better than a noon game, right? Noon games kind of favor the road team in SEC
noon
kind of man play.
Noon game for a Florida team that sucks with a crowd that's not nearly as into it as they otherwise would be could set you up for disaster.
I think the crowd will be fine for that game no matter what, just because it's Florida. Maybe if they've lost two and you've got, like, if you get spanked by Pitt, maybe, or if you don't look impressive against Akron or Ball State. But I think that game, I mean, that's the first big home game. I think the crowd will be just fine, even if it's at a noon game. The 2000, let me get my dates right here. Was it 2004, maybe 13, where you played Florida up here, Will Muschamp, the 10-9 Checker Kneeling game?
Disgusting.
But it was a good atmosphere for a noon game.
It was a good atmosphere.
Until you lost by a point.
Props to whoever came up with that Checker Kneeling idea. That was the first game we did it, right?
You know I had something to do with that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know. I was waiting for you to say
I didn't come up
it.
With the idea. It was Spencer Barnett came up with it, and I wrote an article, and it kind of caught fire. Then somebody started the Checker Kneeling website, and it went from there. But it does look good. I think it happened after we played Oklahoma at Oklahoma in 2013. Or maybe it was 14. At Oklahoma, when Worley threw the 100-yard pick six. We have to lead the nation in 100-yard pick sixes over the last, or 100-yard interception or fumble returns for a touchdown in the last decade. There's no doubt.
Probably just interception return yards in general.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine.
I said that last week. Like, there's no way we don't lead the world. Well, JG specifically, But Tennessee over the last 20 years has to have more return yard reception or interception return yards against than any other team in the country. All time, it might be close because Eric Berry was a phenom. But I'm going to say we probably lead in that category. Right now, I'd say 65-70% chance that Florida game's at night. And LSU, that's so deep into the schedule, it just depends on what the network
I want. Need it to be a noon game or a night game. No midday.
Which one?
Florida.
So no 3:30?
No 3:30 under.
Well, A&M Arkansas is probably going to get that unless one of those teams stumbles horribly out of the gate.
I got a midday wedding that day.
You're going to a midday wedding on Florida Saturday?
I don't want to be an ass and not go.
So they've already announced that weekend that Georgia and Kent State a noon kickoff, and then a 7:30 kickoff LSU New Mexico.
On SEC Network, right?
I don't know the network.
There's no way they'd put that game on ESPN this quick.
The Arkansas and A&M game is a neutral
game. Right, that's the one they play in Jerry's World. Yeah, I feel so like that game's been on CBS a lot, so that's good. Now, it's interesting because Arkansas does open hosting Cincinnati.
Yeah, I know.
So that's obviously Cincinnati coming off a playoff berth. That's a game that Arkansas, I guess, theoretically could drop. I'd probably lean Arkansas. Everyone thought Texas would go in there last year and give them what for, and they ended up just pounding Texas with the run game.
We can't just automatically toss us being at 3:30, right? I mean, Arkansas could...
Well, I think
a couple of losses in there.
I don't think they have a couple. I mean, they could lose to Cincinnati, but I think they're going to beat South Carolina and Missouri State.
Well, their schedule does set up for some early season disappointment.
Well, yeah, because then they get Bama and at Mississippi State after they get A&M.
At best, they are.
A&M doesn't have anybody early before Arkansas, do they?
A&M never does.
At best, they're 3-2 to start the
season. They seem to be always undefeated going to Bama, don't they?
Well, they always play like West Texas State Southern Baptist or something. It seems they always pad the stats. Like if you play SEC Fantasy, you want A&M's offense the first three games of the season because they're going to try to hang 70, and the teams they play are absolute garbage.
Sam Houston State is who they get week one this year.
Like I said, right. Sam Houston State, Baptist, Southern. Who they get week two?
Week two, they have Appalachian State.
Okay.
That's a decent matchup.
It's not the same as it was when App State went to Michigan, but that's a decent program right
week
now.
Week three, Miami.
Ooh.
Really?
Yep.
Before
A&M gets Miami?
Yep, they get Miami the week before Arkansas.
Where's that game?
That game is at A&M.
Wow.
That's a weird game. Like, my brain can't even compute. Miami
wasn't in the top 25, were they? 17th. I think they were 17th. Okay.
So Miami's week two or week three?
Miami is week three. They don't have a road game until October 1st.
But they have a neutral site game against Arkansas. Okay.
True road game.
Okay. That'll conclude hour one. We'll hit a quick break, come back, kick off hour number two, practice notes, and scrimmage preview.